This podcast from News Talk WHCU is sponsored by Brightworks Computer Consulting. Call 277-8585. Our next guest would like to invite you out to see a little piece of our past to get some idea of where we're going in our future. David Rossiter joins us once again, an Ithaca native who knows the streetcars, who knows the train tracks backwards and forwards, even some of those who no longer appear in our streets today. David, welcome back again. And you are taking folks on a tour of the Tompkins County's railway system. Past, present, future?
That's the idea. We hope there's a future. There's a present for sure, and there's a lot in the past, back in the railway age.
Wasn't there a big push to get a main thoroughfare train track through here, like it was going to be our interstate of trains?
Well, that's an interesting story. They failed primarily in the 1850s because the city of Ithaca, which at that point was not the city, the town, insisted that any railroad serve the downtown, which, if you might have noticed, is quite a bit down the hill. And the main line at the time was from Owego to Ithaca, so they wanted to go from the Susquehanna to the Erie Canal system, mm-hmm. and they had that from 1832, and we'll see the abandoned part of that near Morris Chain. They had these inclined planes because it was such a steep hill. Well, the idea was to split off at Caroline and make a line to East Ithaca, which they did, and eventually that part got built, and continue north to Auburn. It would have been crossing the Cornell campus about where Bailey Hall is, and a nice trestle there, and it would have stayed pretty much on the level all the way from the high point at near Caroline, about 1,000 feet elevation, let's say, very close to Owego elevation, and then gradually go down to Auburn, and then you'd have that open. Well, what happened was, this is in the 1850s, they actually graded the southern part all the way almost to East Ithaca, and that part got later used by Ezra Cornell's railroads in the 1870s. They also graded from the north, from Auburn, all the way down to south of Water Wagon Road, just about crossing Triphammer Road, very close to where we are here.
Wow.
Then they ran out of money because the town of Ithaca refused they said, you have to come down in the flats, and they ran out of money, and then the 1850s, there were various financial panics, and that never got completed. The northern part of that line from South Lansing to Auburn later on got used by an interurban railway in the 19-teens and 20s, which was not a very good idea because the highway system rapidly expanded. But that would have been, because that was going to be built before the Lackawanna Railroad had built their main line up through Syracuse and over, and the other line up through up through Bath and so forth. So yes, if that had been built, we would have had heavy freight trains crossing a trestle above BB Lake. And
can you imagine?
Instead of the Portage Viaduct over by Letchworth Park. But that was in the 1850s, and it died, but we can still barely see some of the remnants of the grade that was never used, which is near Asbury and Water Wagon. Other portions, as I said, were used, one abandoned in the 1930s and the other one in the 1920s.
So it is a week from Saturday that
right.
David Rossiter will be leading you on a bus tour of our railroads, past, present, and potentially future. We're meeting at the History Center a week from Saturday, March 17th at 1 o'clock. Bus will take you along with our guest, David Rossiter, so you can see Ithaca and outlying areas in ways that you've never seen them before. So what do we have for rail today? It's just the power plant and the salt mine, right?
Right. And what happened was in 1976, when Conrail took over all the eastern roads, Congress gave them the mandate they could cut out any traffic that was not heavy, who does not require heavy traffic. And this one was kept because there's no practical way to have salt, big amounts of salt, and especially coal. Mm-hmm. So they brought it into the Conrail system. And that was a positive thing because a few years later, actually not till the 80s, I think 84 or so, they rebuilt the railroad to mainline standards. And old-time Ithacans will well remember the horrible state of that line under the Lehigh Valley. And Joe Scaglione III, who posts a lot on Facebook about this, he was a teenager, used to ride this train, and he has these memories, the jointed rail, the gaps between the rails, and they would crawl along at 10 miles an hour. New technology is, of course, that you have a unit coal train, and it comes from, actually, the one now comes from Shire Mills in Pennsylvania, which is south of Pittsburgh near McKeesport. It runs as a unit train all the way to Milliken Station.
Oh, wow.
Two or three times a week. It just depends on the demand. Now, we talk about the future. If they ever convert the Cayuga power plant, then that part will certainly be abandoned. If they convert it to natural gas, for example, that would be abandoned.
But the salt mine, Joe yesterday had a photograph of one of the salt trains moving through and powering through because they were going in on an uphill climb, and I think it was 33 cars of salt that was going up.
Right. Well, that's going south from Ithaca. Right. It's interesting you mentioned that because going south from Ithaca, the grade up to North Spencer that is 1.64% is the steepest up there by West Danby. It's quite a climb. And that was the problem, of course, back in the days of the passenger trains. People have this nostalgia. Every once in a while, I see people say, let's bring back the passenger train. I tell them, look at the schedule. You have to go to Sayre, Wilkes-Barre, Bethlehem, et cetera, and you're in Penn Station in 7.5 hours. So maybe a nice scenic ride. I would love to take it as a scenic ride. And then going the other way, you went to, which was a little better, Geneva and Buffalo. But in both directions from Ithaca, the grade was quite steep. So they abandoned this as a freight line in 1892. They built the line through Schuyler County. So from Venetian over through Odessa and down to Geneva, that was not abandoned until Conrail in 1976. And that was essentially a superhighway of railroading. What people don't realize is the late 1890s to 1910s, the railroads had lots and lots of money because they were really
The barons were rolling, right?
Well, the barons were rolling, but it's where all the traffic was.
Yeah.
So the Lackawanna, for example, completely rebuilt their line. The famous Tunkhannock Viaduct in Pennsylvania made it the cutoff in New Jersey, and the Lehigh Valley built a new low-grade line, the most gradual. It went slightly uphill to Alpine and then very gradually downhill to Geneva. A beautiful line, excellent for traffic, and they built their own line to Buffalo. But by the time of the 1976, it was redundant because you had the various parallel lines.
Right.
And Conrail decided to keep the X Erie line with the one that goes across Letchworth. And I should just mention there, they've just rebuilt the Letchworth Viaduct. It's absolutely beautiful. It was the other one was from 1875.
Right.
If you've ever been to Letchworth Park, you'll know that's the one right above the falls. And they rebuilt it, they rebuilt the line, and they just opened it a few months ago. They raised the speed limit from 10 miles an hour to 35 miles an hour. And it's heavily used. So if any of our listeners go over to Letchworth, you'll see this beautiful new viaduct that we think will last a long time. But that's bypassing Tompkins County, of course.
Online at thehistorycenter.net, where you can get signed up today for David Rossiter's bus tour of Our Old Railways. It's Saturday, March 17th, and we'll all convene at the History Center at 401 East State, MLK Jr. Street. Again, we'd ask that you register online at thehistorycenter.net. So how far out are you taking the bus tour for our railways, David, on a week from Saturday?
Well, I was restricted to about 3.5 hours because although we're going to have some real fanatics, what we refer to as foamers in the industry.
Foamers? Is what we call them?
Because they're foaming at the mouth, you know, about the railways. That's us. But we're going to have a lot of normal people. I know
some
a few
normies.
Well, a
some
few
foamies.
People. Some people I know from my wife's church, for example, are interested. So, 3.5 hours. So we'll end up going down to Brooktondale, over to Freeville, South Lansing, back into Ithaca, out to Trumansburg, and then finally down to Newfield, where we're going to see one of these other very ill-fated railroads that never got built because it got, in 1873, the panic of 1873, it failed. And the poor people of Newfield and Enfield were paying bonds off until the 1940s.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
And can you still see some of that today?
Yes. And it's interesting. I've been following these grades now for about, my father got me interested in this back in the 50s, so about 60 years. And there's been a lot of erosion and degeneration, and that's why we're going, by the way. We hope the day today is absolutely perfect.
Yes.
A little bit of snow on the ground, you can really see things.
So what you're saying, David, is you're taking this bus tour a week from Saturday because who knows how long we're going to have these history elements of our history to see in the not-so-distant future.
Right, and I've noticed, well, they're there. Some things get plowed in. The land goes back to the farmers. We're very fortunate that the main line of the both the Lackawanna and the Lehigh Valley got preserved by the electric and gas. So in 1962, when the line to Trumansburg was abandoned, the electric and gas bought this. They had a policy of buying these lines for future rights of way. They also own the whole line where the South Hill Wreckway is, all the way down to Wilseyville, maybe to Owego, I'm not sure. But they, from Ithaca through Caroline down to Wilseyville, if you look on the tax maps, you'll see it's owned by the electric and gas company. And the concept was that they then had a corridor they could preserve if they wanted to.
Put up power lines.
And you saw they did that very soon. leaving from the Children's Garden downtown, going up to the hospital. They did use that for a big power line right before the hospital, and then it heads uphill.
And that was a railway line?
That was the line to Geneva, sure.
Oh.
If you the Black well, that's now the Black Diamond Trail,
right?
And fortunately, the state stepped in and I think has probably bought the whole right of way. I'm not sure, from Electric and Gas. And they go all the way now to the bridge over Tagannett Creek, which will be one of our stops because that was considered a scenic wonder back in the day. And the trains used to actually stop there for 10 minutes and let people gaze in the... That was back in more like the 1890s. Gaze into the gorge.
Before everybody had somewhere to go and they had to be there right
well,
now.
Well, they were happy just to get there out of the mud. Well, you have to remember, back there were no paved highways until the 19... Probably the first paved highway in Thomas County, maybe the early 20s. I'm actually not sure of that, but certainly not much earlier.
There's a question I have, David, about, you know, there's something special about this place. And when I'm thinking about what's different about this place compared to other places I've lived, and there was no uncertain terror when I first realized this when I got to town. This is as far from an interstate as I've ever been. And it feels like, oh, I can't get out. I can't escape. At first, it felt that way. And then you hear the stories of the rail lines that could have come through here and brought mass commuter traffic through here. But now that's not here either.
Right.
That something special is here. And maybe that something special is here because of other things that never made an appearance here.
Well, I'm speaking now as a Ithaca native. Mm-hmm. We're very much against bringing interstates here. We like everyone having to ride on Route 79 to go to New York.
I mean, it's a certain type of person.
It is a certain type of person, and
somebody who likes to stop for 10 minutes and enjoy the scenery.
Well, that's it. But also, yeah, Ithaca, the logical one would be the Syracuse to Elmira, and we got really in 1960 they opened the Route 13, which is certainly convenient, but is quite the eyesore. And they tried to do the same thing with Route 89. There was a lot of up to the hospital and beyond, and that was kicked out. Well, you see, the highway department wouldn't allow a compromise. What the compromise was going to be was a three-lane road uphill, a little bit below the current Route 96, and the third lane would be reserved for emergencies. So the whole point was, but the state said, so, you know, you want to go to the hospital in emergency, and climbing lane. But they said, no, either four-lane divided highway like you have on Route 13 or nothing.
And we got nothing.
And we got nothing, which we're very happy with.
I was going to say, and that's to some degree defines who we are and where we live today. David, we're out of time, but I want to remind folks that there is a whole lot more waiting for you Saturday, March 17th, beginning at the History Center at 1 o'clock. David Rossiter will lead you on a bus tour to tour the old railway system in our own backyard. You can get signed up and registered today online at thehistorycenter.net. And David, you don't have to have anything going on. Just come on by anytime you want, and we'll catch up on some history.
Okay, Lee.